Good morning, Lord. Good morning, Lord. Today is a special day worth living.
Bishop Haralambos is a Greek Orthodox bishop whose ordination name translates from the Greek to be Happy Light. Bishop Hara, or Happy, will welcome us each morning with an uplifting message of exhortation, bringing us together for wisdom, knowledge, Bible prophecy, and current events, reviewing past prophecies aired on the radio years ago in a Nostradamus fashion. The program will contain miracles, newspaper quotes, and Holy Scripture readings relating to the end times.
Come receive the light in God's Kapheneum. This is Bishop Haralambos. From now on, you can just call me Bishop Hara, and our program will be coming to you each Sunday morning, 8:30 to 9, especially to you live-ins and all you God-blessed people, the beloved of the Lord.
This is a time of repentance. That seems to be a word that we don't like to hear, because I heard quote-unquote from many in confession that they say, Father, I do not feel I've committed any sins, therefore I do not need to repent. Well, the truth is that we can sin inadvertently, even in our hearts, deep in our hearts. That's why the good Lord says that no man knoweth the man's heart, but I do, saith the Lord. In the triadion of orthodoxy in the church, Eastern Orthodox Church, there happens to be a preparation for Lent, which comes before Pascha. Let me give you an example of the type of sin that could be hidden. We know very well about the Pharisee who had the impression that he was a good person, and he just criticized those that were around him. That's one type of sin in the heart. And then, of course, the second type can be someone that person whom the Holy Gospel presents to us in a negative example. Let's say the allegedly good son, though, when the prodigal son returned in the parable that Christ spoke, he wasn't. His heart was very hardened, and he was a very self-centered son, because he even refused to participate in a reception which his father wanted to celebrate the return of the penitent prodigal brother. Then there's a third type. It represents the figure of, we know, the herds of goats and pigs, myriads of people who are cruel and heartless when faced with suffering of their fellow human beings. So what we need repentance in any one of these orders, we need to infuse in our hearts a love towards our fellow human being. With compassion, we need to have mercy, and of course acceptance, always of a returning brother, especially who's in error, and he comes to know that the truth. We all need to realize that our virtues amount to nothing before God. That's the bottom line. And we all are obliged to achieve and attain self-knowledge, cleanse ourselves, especially from mind impurities and distorted, self-centered ways of thinking. And we need to take on the cloak of love and humility. That's really the task of repentance in Lent, to dig deep in and prepare ourselves. And it really is for our own benefit, because there's a healing that comes about. But today's message really is centered on repentance as it is in Scripture, which I'll repeat to you. In Mark, we know we find the quotes of the Lord. The time has come. He said, the kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. We know that was said by John the Baptist, who had the spirit of Elijah. And we also know that in Mark, we also find they went out and preached that people should repent. In Psalm, if we go back into the Old Testament, we hear, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. So if you're down and out because the sin has just broken your heart, pray to God, because you are a candidate for healing and the love of God. We also know in Psalms it says that the Lord heals the brokenhearted, and he binds up their wounds. So if we're wounded or if something's happened to us and our hearts are broken, even in love, God will heal that. In Job, we know he says, quote, if you put away the sin that is in your hand and allow no evil to dwell in your tent, then you will lift up your face without shame. You will stand firm and without fear. I'd like to quote another Old Testament from Ezekiel, a famous prophet. But if a wicked man turns away from all the sins he has committed and keeps all my decrees and does what is just and right, he will surely live, saith the Lord God. He will not die. None of the offenses he has committed will be remembered against him. Because of the righteous things he has done, he will live. Those words are very, very comforting, and I do know that that if you're out there listening today, that this isn't really being said to give you any conviction, but to really have you introspectively look into your own heart and benefit, because it's our hearts is where the healing really begins. That's where the faith is stored. As God said, your faith, Jesus Christ, our God, said, your faith will heal you. Your faith has made you well. We also know that in Scripture, in the temptation of Jesus, he said to them, he spoke to the time of the day of the Pharisees. He said, and surely you will say unto me this proverb, physician, heal yourself. Whatsoever you have done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country. And Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elijah sent, save unto Zarephath, a city of Sidon, and to a woman that was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, saving Nathan the Syrian. That parable holds true as Jesus was referring, of course, to Old Testament. But repentance and healing is very much available to us New Testament believers. It's interesting that he does make reference to the fact that as a prophet, none are accepted in their own country. That's very, very true, and it's the truth that many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah. Isn't it strange that he makes reference to the fact that Elijah did not come to them, but only to the woman that was a widow who had a sick son, and by the way. Let me skip over to a particular did you know. In a lighter note, did you know the simplest necktie knot is the four in hand, which originated in the late 19th century in England? Yes, the Duke of Windsor, who abdicated the throne in 1936 for the love of an American divorcee, Wallace Simpson, is credited with introducing the Windsor knot. The half Windsor is a simpler version of its predecessor. The newest knot we know today is the Pratt, which appeared in 1989. The shape of a knot depends on the number of right, center, and left moves in its tie sequence. A balanced knot is tightly bound and keeps its shape. Now you know what causes the Windsor knot and who invented it. On a lighter note, to ease your conscience because you know you are a sinner and need to repent. Now let's hear Rejoice, O Virgin. It's a beautiful Byzantine song that gives tribute and love to the Virgin Mary. This Rejoice, O Virgin is sung in all the Orthodox liturgies. In Greek Orthodox, Ukrainian Orthodox, it's a Byzantine Orthodox composition. Rejoice, O Virgin. Sit back and listen and open your hearts to receive the love that comes from this song.
Yeah. of sin, your people celebrate and sing to you. The barren woman gives birth to the Theotokos who nourished our life.
Today is the prelude of God's good will, the herald of the salvation of mankind. The Virgin is revealed in the temple of God, foretelling the coming of Christ to all. Let us cry to her with all our strength.
It's important that I tell you St. Michael Academy of Eschatology is sponsoring this program. It is a Bible seminary, an Orthodox Bible seminary, and it's under the State of Florida Board of Education and of Colleges. Profoundly, it's right in our midst for you to learn. Please, you can write St. Michael Academy to enter into anywhere from the associate program to the doctorate program, all approved by the State of Florida in its curriculum. 7007, Post Office Box 7007, West Palm Beach, Florida, 33405. I also want to have a feedback from my beautiful listeners. You can reach me, your Bishop Harold Ambos, or Bishop Harry, or Bishop Happy, at msn.com, Archangel Michael, low caps, Archangel Michael, ARCHMICHAEL, one word, at msn.com. I'm waiting to hear from you for any subject matter in theology or philosophy that we can speak about on this program. It's important I let you also know that my qualifications are a PhD in both theology and philosophy. God bless you.
You heard, I'm sure, with delight in your heart, the devotion that was given in the song from the people's hearts as they sang the Rejoice, O Virgin. Let me speak about another updated devotion of a man who decided he was going to build a bridge. Believe it or not, the Brooklyn Bridge that connects Manhattan and Brooklyn was one of the wonders of the world when it was finished in 1883. Yet, it might not have ever been built were it not for the devotion and love between a father and his son. This father's name, he was a creative engineer, was named John Roebling. He came up with the idea for the unique design, and he put his young son, Washington, in charge of building it. Only a few months into the project, however, a tragic accident took the life of John Roebling and severely injured Washington, who was left unable to walk or talk. It seemed the bridge never would be built, for the Roeblings were the only ones who knew how to do it. The son's devotion and desire to complete the bridge as a tribute to his father drove him with heroic determination. Confined to his hospital bed, he developed a code. With one finger, he would tap. He could move. He touched his wife's arm, tapping out messages to the construction crew leaders for the next 13 years. Yes, he communicated his father's vision until it became a spectacular reality. Today's Brooklyn Bridge. Let's speak about love and devotion and speak the truth in love. Let me read some excerpts to you of a very wonderful book that was written. It's devoted to a dad's blessing. And it says, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. This is taken from Ephesians in the Holy Scriptures. I'm often told that I'm very good at seeing a problem, confronting it, and working to solve it. Nothing frees a man like the truth. In things that you scope and see in others, and you decide you want to have criticism for their position or actions, always before you put someone in their place over this, put yourself in their place. Truth. What is truth? Said Pilate to the Lord, when the Lord spoke to him of the truth. Truth, as we know it, is also referred to in 2 Thessalonians. Very important that we hear and read these words and pray and discern them. Now we beseech you, brethren, for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering unto him, that you be not shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that a man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalted himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he is as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you those things? And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth worketh already, only he whom now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his second coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. For this cause God shall send them a strong delusion, a strong error, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Let me repeat that. This is really a doctrine that I don't believe the church is preaching with any emphasis. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. And why do they perish? Because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them a strong delusion, that they might and should believe a lie. Now, if God sends a strong delusion and a lie, I'm positive that mankind will believe that lie. And so why is it so important to always refer to James? In James, the epistle of James, it says, confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another that you might be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We spoke earlier about Elijah. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth brought forth the fruit. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that converteth, that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. And I am sure that that is something that we could say, that bringing a brother or sister from error, bringing them into the truth, even the truth of the gospel as it is properly interpreted, and not this modern versions that keep coming out promoting. And I've said this before, and I will say it again, because we do know that any deviation from the original Acts of the Apostles is really not on target. And there is error in the church today. There's no question about that. Let me read you what it says in Acts, which was dependent, the apostles saying this was dependent upon the Old Testament, the Psalms. For it is written in the book of Psalms, of the apostles, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take. Of course, they're referring to Judas, who was eliminated from the 12 apostles. And, of course, that we also know that what happened to Judas. He burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. But they did pick another bishopric. And the word bishopric is in even the King James Version. So why is it today we deviate from the apostolic bishopric that was begun in 33 A.D.? Why is it that the beginning from the baptism of John until that day that was taken from us, that one needed to be ordained? Why is it that we needed to take part of the ministry of apostleship? Why does it emphasize apostleship in the book of Acts? And therefore, it is important that the truth and the error be removed from the church, that we also remember, more importantly, that 2 Thessalonians, as it refers to the truth and not the pursuit of the truth, there will be a delusion sent by God himself. It's important that if you have any controversy about this, call WTTV 562-6397. 562-6397. Again, WTTB, the number is 562-6397. That's an immediate answer that here at the station. If you have controversy with what has been said or anything to add, I would appreciate you call. God bless you. Now we'll hear a parable in song. It's a beautiful parable. It's everything is ready. Now the parable of the Great Supper. It's sung by my partner, friend, and brother in Christ, Frank Pasilli. The parable of the Great Supper. It's dear to my heart. I hope it's dear to your heart.
There was a special dinner given by a man. Many were invited. All throughout the land, and at the final hour, he sent his slave to say the feast had been prepared. The dinner was that day come, for everything is ready now. Please consider me excused for dinner. And this was his retort: go out through this great city and comb the streets and lanes so we can fill vacant seats with the poor, crippled, blind, and lame. And the slave said to his master, what you commanded has been done, yet people are carousing in rebellion, lust, and fun. It still looks like an empty room. The slave said in such gloom, the master said.
Bishop Haralambos is a Greek Orthodox bishop whose ordination name translates from the Greek to be Happy Light. Bishop Hara, or Happy, will welcome us each morning with an uplifting message of exhortation, bringing us together for wisdom, knowledge, Bible prophecy, and current events, reviewing past prophecies aired on the radio years ago in a Nostradamus fashion. The program will contain miracles, newspaper quotes, and Holy Scripture readings relating to the end times.
I want to hear from you. It's important that you email me, archangelmichael@msn.com. Once again, I'll repeat that, archangelmichael@msn.com. Let me hear from you. Suggest things that we can go together over in Scripture and study and pray about. archangelmichael@msn.com. And when you email me and make suggestions of what we should discuss in Scripture or even our theology, we can do this every Sunday, and you will hear the remarks and even repeat whatever your subject matter is on Sundays from 8:30 to 9 every Sunday on this program. 8:30 to 9 every Sunday on WTTB. And this is Bishop Harold Lambos, Bishop Harold, Bishop Happy, on WTTB 1490 every Sunday, 8:30 to 9. Please email me or even call into the station the suggestion that you would have me speak about, sharing it together. God bless you. This is Bishop Harrah saying good day.